You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, a little bit nervous here this afternoon. Jonas Siegel's back in here from The Athletic. What's up, Jonas?
I'm good. I'm healthy.
I think I'm getting the hiccups right before the show came on the air.
Oh, no.
And I'm nervous about this.
What happens in that case? Has that ever happened before?
Not really.
Do you just do the show and hiccup the whole time?
I don't know if I can do that.
Do I just have to talk
you
for
might have to
3 hours?
Do you have 3 hours of material?
Well, I'll just read stories from The Athletic. How about that?
Well, what do you have? What are you writing these days?
I can't tell you that.
Why not?
Yeah, it's secret. I don't want to let off.
What are you? You're not even with the team. What could you be writing? Everyone's concentrating on the game tonight in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's not for right now.
And Kawhi returning tomorrow night.
I know. It's not for right now. It's a bigger project.
How often do you have to write some off the beaten path, bigger project that...
There's no amount.
Okay.
It's just there's an opportunity. There's a week. I'm not with the team.
Opens the door to some creativity.
It opens the door, exactly.
Maybe something you've been thinking about doing for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that.
You're not
hold on to your takes, man.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it could come back at any point, and if that happens without O here, O's off again today. Noodles is doing something here, and he'll be back at some point.
I think 5 o'clock?
That's my understanding. I mean, the way things work around here, it may be 5:15, it could be 4:45, I have no idea. For whatever reason, Noodles had to do something different than the show he's supposed to be on every day. So he's not here right now. So it's you and me, buddy. We're going to roll through this for the next hour.
I think we'll be fine.
Great mood today. I'm so excited to be here.
I was worried you weren't going to show up. And it was just going to be like Noodles.
Well, if I'm not here, what are we going to do? Because O's not here again. Noodles, again, I don't know what he's got up his sleeve. If I'm not here, what happens on the show? Because you're just going to read pieces.
I'll just do what O-Dog always wants to do. I'll open the phone lines.
Yeah.
Well. Or read pieces. There's lots going on. We have lots to talk about.
Yeah, we do. We got a Leaf game tonight.
Yeah.
The Raptors, I thought, really gutsy win last night. Like, I've noticed that, we always got to overanalyze. And if they want to be an elite team, you've got to dominate a team like Chicago. Can we keep in mind they played the night before?
Yeah.
Back-to-back. Both games on the road. Significant travel, time zone difference. Fred VanVleet not available to them. Lowry still kind of easing his way back into the lineup, and they found a way to win. What's the problem with that? Why do we have to find some sort of an issue? And I'm not saying you necessarily have, but I'm getting, based on your body language, you took issue with something last night.
I thought the word gutsy was a little... Is that the word you used?
Gutsy, one of the gutsiest wins of the year.
You can't call a win over the Bulls gutsy.
Why not?
Because they're one of the worst teams in the league. You're supposed to beat the Bulls, and they did. That's fine. Done.
They're supposed to beat the Bulls.
Yes. Even on a second night of a back-to-back.
Second night of a back-to-back.
Yes.
Fred VanVleet not playing.
Yes. Come on.
Siakam in a bit of a slump.
Yeah.
The team dealing with their first, losing streak
malaise
of the year.
Yeah.
And they found a way to win. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't a Picasso. They didn't win by 30. You know, they didn't shoot.
No, they're going through a funk right now, and they won. That's fine.
But they found a way to win
the
game.
But it's not gutsy. Come on.
Well, I think it's the definition of gutsy. Because Chicago had an opportunity to win that game multiple times. And, the defensive play of Gasol last night, OG Anunoby defensively stepped up big time. They got it together late. They hit the shots they had to hit. And you get out of there with a win, and you stop the bleeding before the game tomorrow night. Because the game tomorrow night with Kawhi in town is going to hold significance anyway. Mm-hmm. The Clippers are one of these elite teams that the Raptors have had issues with. If you lose 4 in a row and the fourth was against a team you're quote-unquote supposed to beat in Chicago, it adds just another layer to the overall narrative about what Kawhi Leonard represents to your team and his absence, what it means for you going forward. So I think it was a significant win last night.
But not
I think
gutsy.
They should be proud of them.
Not gutsy.
Okay. You can define it whichever way you choose.
It's significant. It's fine.
It's a rudimentary win for you.
That reminds me of how quickly we swing from one direction to the other. Like a couple weeks ago when they're winning all these games, we're like, man, they're doing just fine without Kawhi. And then they get on a little skid. And if you pick through the games, the only one that's really bad is the Philly game. And their best player is kind of slumping. And yet now we're starting to wonder, the impact of taking Kawhi. He's one of the best players in the league. You take him off your team, you're not going to be as good, obviously. But the fact that they are where they are, what are they now, 16 and 7? 16-7 without Kawhi.
Oh, yeah.
With the injuries that they had, I think Lowry missed a month.
Lowry missed upwards of a month. Ibaka was out for the same amount of time.
I think if you told me at the beginning of the year they would be 16-7 going into that
game. Even with full health.
I
wouldn't have thought that that was going to be
the case. I would
be
like, that's a little over-optimistic.
But there you go. So now that speaks to exactly what they accomplished last night. In terms of our thought process evolving and changing,
yeah,
and at times being erratic and all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, again, if I had have told you before the season, they're going to find a way to win that game on a back-to-back, you'd probably be like, that seems like that could be a tough win. Yeah, the Bulls are not very good. They haven't been good for a long time. They don't have a closer. They've got a bunch of good young players. They have no one on that team that is even remotely close to a superstar or somebody that scares you in a final possession, which is what Chicago had last night.
Mm-hmm.
But the Raptors, considering everything that has happened, I give them a lot of love for that win last night. And now they roll into a game tomorrow night where Kawhi is back and there's going to be a ring presentation. It's going to be emotional. I assume Kawhi's in town today. I would assume they flew in after the Indiana game last night. So he's out there somewhere. He's walking around the streets of Toronto. Someone, I'm sure, has spotted him at some spot. You know, there's got to be a place that he was dying to get back to.
One of the Kawhi can dine kind of places? Those don't work anymore,
I would
right?
suggest he doesn't go back to one of those places because they might have a word waiting for him. Like, you'd have to serve him. But how bitter would you be if he took advantage of this Kawhi and dine under the premise that, hey, we're trying to court you here. We want you to stay. And by all accounts, he accepted the offer. Like, they were like, this one's on the house, and he said thank you. And then you go back in there when you return on another team? It'd be a ballsy move.
Of the three normal Overdrive guys, which guys would pull that off? O-Dog for sure.
Take a freebie?
Yeah, even like after he signed with the Clippers.
And go back in, you mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, oh,
I think you would
that.
Too.
I would probably do it.
I don't think Noodles would.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go back in knowing that I took them for a free meal or free bottle of wine or whatever when I'm a multi-millionaire.
Multi over 200 whatever times.
Right, and knowing that the reason they were being so hospitable and hooking me up with freebies was they wanted me to re-sign. I don't think I would go and shove that back in their face. There's a lot of restaurants in Toronto.
He's got to eat somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure he's doing something.
What percentage of like 100 do you think Raptor fans should be ticked at him? 10%? 5%? More?
Well, I don't think anyone... Like, saying that you're mad at him, that to me doesn't make any sense. I don't think anybody's mad at him. I think they're disappointed. Absolutely. I mean, we can joke about it being a parent comment. I never understood when he left in early July why people were so afraid to say that they were upset.
Were people?
No. I mean, a lot of people were like, just leave him alone. He's going home. He got us a ring. Yeah, we know that. You can have your cake and eat it too. The ring had already been solidified. I wanted more. What's wrong with that?
No, it's not.
I don't think
we
asked for a lot in Toronto. Like, this sports scene has not been catering us with championship after championship after championship. I don't think there was anything wrong with being upset, disappointed, rattled. I still am to an extent. I'm happy the Raptors have responded the way that they have. They're still a good team, but they're lacking their superstar. They're lacking the guy who represented everything that they were about last year, and I wish he re-signed. But I'm not going to boo him tomorrow night, and I'm not mad at him. I understand his decision, but I'm disappointed. I wish he stayed. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. Can I ask you a question? This is a bit hot takey. Who do you think has a better chance to get to the finals, the Clippers or the Raptors?
I would say the Clippers.
The only reason I'm asking that is because the West is better, and you would have to conceivably go through the Lakers or whoever
yeah.
else, maybe Houston?
Yeah. No,
and in the East.
But I think the Clippers.
Philly, Milwaukee, Boston.
Just the way that the playoffs in the NBA works, it eventually gets down to one or two guys. That's why the Raptors are going to be in tough.
Yep.
They can make it to an NBA Finals. It's not like you're saying, I think Detroit is going to get there.
No.
Or Orlando is going to get there. The Raptors are an upper echelon team. They're a top 10 team in the NBA. They can get there. But if it gets to a point where one guy's got to get it done for you, I'm taking Kawhi Leonard over Siakam. I'm taking Paul George over Siakam. They got two of them.
Yeah, but
so just from that alone,
going to face two of them.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I'm Clippers. Saying if they're in that position, they've already faced. Like, if they got the Lakers to Game 7 final possession, doesn't matter who you're up against or what the context is, it's can you find a way to score? Or, reversely, can you find a way to shut down that other alpha dog assassin on the other side? And that's, again, where Kawhi Leonard comes into play. So I would lean Clippers, but I don't think it's like a landslide. And I would have probably answered it very differently 2 months ago.
You would have said it's a landslide.
I would have said it's probably a landslide. I would take the Clippers until I see more about out of the Raptors. But, you know, the Raptors have shown well early into the season. So Josh Lewenberg will be in studio in about 20 minutes. The Maple Leafs are out in Vancouver. The Board of Governor meetings continue in California. Some big news in the NHL today. Jim Montgomery, the head coach of the Dallas Stars, was fired for unprofessional conduct. And Jim Nill, the GM, came out and said, you know, the integrity of the franchise was at stake here. And it happened, I guess, in the past week. It's not like it happened last night, but it's happened recently. And it was brought to the attention of the league and the Board of Governors. And we heard what Gary Bettman had to say yesterday about how it's a new era and they're turning over a new leaf. But also the reports out there are indicating that this was not about, like, abuse of a player. It wasn't an abuse issue. So we don't know exactly what he's done to deserve being fired. Clearly it was significant enough where they acted fairly quickly. I mean, if it happened last week, they didn't immediately act, but I don't think that that should be expected. I mean, you have to go through your due diligence. You're firing a very public figure, a head coach, someone who's getting paid a lot of money, someone who has had a lot of success recently. Like, Dallas was a playoff team last year. Started slowly, but they've been red hot recently, and they got themselves back into a playoff hunt in the West. But I don't know, like, if it's not about abuse, unless he said something offensive, I don't know if the two are aligned. You know, like, is this about Bettman saying it's a new era, and because of what's happened recently, we're going to pounce? Or is this something all, like, totally different, more salacious, and if it comes out, it's going to be, you know, kind of a black mark on the team. I don't know. Until more details come out, we won't find out. But, man, the NHL has been dealing with some pretty heavy stories over the past month and a half.
Well, do you think this happens, if all this other stuff doesn't happen, do you think they fire him?
Without knowing the details, I don't know. I mean, he could have said something to the owner. He could, you know, yeah. And I'm just spitballing. I have no idea what he did. It could have been, you know, something salacious that is unbecoming of whatever their code is down there in Dallas. I don't know. Until we know the details, if this was player abuse in his past, it would be immediately linked. Okay, the league has said we're not putting up with it anymore, and this is what we're doing. We just found out about this, or maybe we found out about it before, but the guidelines have changed. But they didn't detail what he did. They just said it was unprofessional conduct.
Well, I guess what I'm wondering is, do you think teams are now going to be more wary of, if we cover this thing up, like we just brushed it under the rug, we can be in a lot of trouble if a month later, 2 years later, whatever, where it comes out and you didn't act. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of some of the examples. Maybe, I guess none of the examples really apply because those guys were with different teams.
Well, the Carolina one would have applied.
But he wasn't with Carolina
anymore. No, I understand.
Oh, yeah, that
but
would
saying,
apply.
Let's say, like, at the time, they heard Bill Peters punched a couple of players or a player and was abusive, and they knew about it. And the vets, Ron Francis, knew about it. There's an example.
Yes.
If Peters still was in Carolina.
But even now, like, even that he's not or he wasn't.
Yeah.
It still looked bad on Ron Francis.
Well, true,
right?
Yeah.
And so maybe now you're, as an organization, you're thinking, man, we have to act differently. Like, if we hear of something that should be fireable, we have to act. We can't wait. Do you think it's okay that they didn't say what it was? Because it puts everything in a weird spot. They can't just fire him and not explain
at some
anything,
point, it's
right?
got to come out, I would think. I mean, here's the thing about what the Bill Peters situation is still very murky because he didn't get fired. He resigned. And everyone knew that the lawyers were involved. So when you hear Bettman yesterday speaking very bluntly and saying, we're not going to put up with it, well, you didn't fire Bill Peters.
But could you have fired Bill
Peters? Well, I'm sure you could have.
But I'm not sure you can. Like, he did this when he was not with their team.
But then that might speak to what's happening with Jim Montgomery. Like, okay, you fired me, but do you still have to pay me? If so, do you sign a document that says you're not allowed to speak about what happened? Like, when the lawyers get involved, then it gets very murky. I got to believe this is going to get out at some point. But I think what is also on the line here, in terms of future coaches, the hiring process, the vetting process, it's going to be very difficult to pin down precise guidelines and precise, you know, parameters in terms of what was acceptable back then, what is acceptable now. What I mean by that is there are extreme examples that you can point to. Bill Peters using the N-word. No one's sympathizing for you. No one's empathizing for you. You can't do it. You shouldn't have done it. You're gone. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
That's a layup.
Fireable.
That's an easy one. But there are a lot of coaches that would have coached, you know, junior hockey 20 years ago. I played junior hockey. A lot of people played junior hockey. I was never subjected to, you know, abuse. But sometimes they make you show up before school and run around the rink.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're after the game, you come home, it's 4 a.m, and you go out and you get bag skated. And is that...
Sometimes they yell at you.
So very many, many times they yell at you.
Yeah, so is that okay?
I think it is, but I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I guess it's more curiosity than anything else.
Yeah.
Is the next coach that goes in, and there's this new process that you've got to go through. Do they have to say, hey, listen, 15 years ago I made them stay on the bus for 20 minutes after the game? Because what if a player on social media tweets out, hey, he coached me back then and he made me do this? I don't know. I really don't. It's too murky. There's only so far you can go with precise guidelines. And nobody's going to be perfect. Everyone's going to have done something or yelled at someone or... You know, I don't know how they're going to handle that.
Well, and how do you sort it out? Because they've got this whole system now. It's basically what Ray Ferraro suggested they do, where you can, like, report to an anonymous hotline about if something happens with your team.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's something that's very gray, which it probably will be, because all this stuff, mostly, like, Peters is not gray. But what if it is gray? Like, what if it's... I mean, even the Babcock-Marner situation.
Stuff, yeah, it's greasy, but it's not abusive.
Right, it's not fireable.
It's a bad tactic, should not have happened.
So
playing
what do you
mind
do?
Games.
So that's not, like, so what do you do in situations like that if you're the league, if you're these teams? I get why it's necessary. Like any other workplace, this is not unusual. These systems have been placed for how long? Forever? Like the last decades?
Yeah, if you have an HR department, they're in place.
But
yeah.
We haven't had this in hockey. We haven't had this in sports, right? So you wonder what will be... This was what was so interesting when Ray suggested all this, is what do you define as abuse? Like if a coach comes in and blasts a player in between periods, is that abuse or is that coaching?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's coaching. I guess there's a line you can't cross. And that's where I guess they'll have to suss this out. But like, what if the league wants to act and the team doesn't? It's just like this has opened up like a whole. And
it really has.
Oh, it's going to create
far more good than I'm not sure there's any bad necessarily. There still is a gray area.
Yeah.
That is going to be very difficult to determine. You know how the league is going to respond, how the general public would respond, because make no mistake, the general public, social media, factors into all of this. Because it's a business, and they're trying to determine, you know, how their customers are feeling about the way it's being operated. And again, the extreme cases make all the sense in the world, and this should be stopping. You know, there shouldn't abuse and physical abuse, and that should not be acceptable. And it's about time they step up and say we're not going to stop. You know, we're not going to allow that. But It's an emotional, you know, you're yelling, you're screaming. It's all these guys, again, they worked their way up. At, you know, was there a point in minor hockey and junior in college where they applied some sort of practice that would not be deemed acceptable today? Is that going to take them out of the running? Will it go public? Do they have to? Who knows? I mean, honestly, at this point, it's so early into the process, we have no idea where it's going to go. Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic. The Leafs in Vancouver tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. Also, Bettman and company down there at the Board of Governors meeting saying that there will be no World Cup of hockey in 2021, and the owners still don't want to go to the Olympics in 2022. So we're dealing with a bit of a dry spell here when it comes to international hockey. I think that's a shame. I think something's got to give. We'll discuss that later in the afternoon. But it's a big game tomorrow night for the Raptors. Kawhi Leonard returning to Scotiabank Arena. Josh Lewenberg with a great piece up on TSN.ca about the shot in Game 7 against Philly. We'll get into that and more. Josh will be in studio next. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up in about a half an hour. The Leafs in Vancouver taking on the Canucks tonight. We'll tee that up with Ray a little bit later on. Get into this World Cup announcement. There won't be a World Cup of hockey next year, and the owners still don't want to go to the Olympics in 2022 as of now. So, you know, we're really going to miss out on international hockey. I think it's a real bummer for the fans, for the young players like McDavid and McKinnon and Matthews and others. So we'll get into that and more with Ray coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. Raptors coming off a 93-92 win in Chicago last night. Josh Lewenberg, a Raptors reporter in studio. I thought that was a great win. I noticed I was following you
serious?
On Twitter. Yes, I thought it was a great win.
That's what I said.
I'll tell you exactly why. We lose sight of the back-to-back, which is they're on the East Coast in Philly. That's an emotional game. It's a big game. It was a night game. They didn't play tip-off at noon in Philly. You're going against the time zones. Chicago, they don't have stars. They're not a very good team, but they're a young team that you know is going to bring some energy.
They were on a back-to-back as well.
Okay, but Fred VanVleet doesn't play.
Yep.
Lowry's still trying to find his footing, and they found a way to win that game and stop the bleeding. They had lost three in a row. It would have been easy to say, well, you know, what are you going to do here? You're not going to win every game by 25 and shoot the lights out and be overly impressive.
Isn't that the spot where you're looking for them to come out and make a statement and say, all right, we're on a slide here. We're not playing well. We're just going to come out here and hammer this bad team?
Well, I think you just beat this bad team. That's what I'm saying. I think you find a way to win that game, and that's exactly what they did last night. It was not pretty. I'm not suggesting it should go to the Hall of Fame.
If you didn't watch the game, don't go back and watch it.
No, it was ugly. It was ugly, but they found a way to win that game.
It's the second night in a row where you sleepwalk your way through 3.5 quarters, wait until the 5-minute mark to flip on the switch, and it's like, you can get away with that against the Bulls, but the biggest takeaway for me in what was an uninspiring back-to-back is they're not good enough, they're not talented enough to live like that against teams at or above their weight class. And listen, I'm not knocking them. It's just the reality is they're not the Clippers. They're not the Lakers. They're not the Raptors from last year. They don't have Kawhi Leonard. I'm not saying they're not good or even that they're not great. They're just not talented in the same way that they were last year. So they can still be really good, and they were. They were 15-4, but they weren't 15-4 because they were better than all the teams they were beating necessarily. I mean, Philadelphia, mm-hmm. great example of it. They beat Philadelphia at home without Lowry and Ibaka. They weren't the more talented team. They were 15-4 because they were outworking teams every night, basically from start to finish. And that's the way they've got to play now. They're so the margin for error is a lot smaller without Kawhi. So as long as they're playing really hard, they're going to do really well. But I think these last few games, if nothing else, should serve as a reminder that until they do that at a high level, they're going to have trouble beating teams that are good or better than they are.
Now, they were shooting a lot better than they were prior to this run, too. I mean, let's not forget the details. Like, last night, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Well, and how much of this whole
shooting
slump is that, Hayes?
Horrible. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know,
28% from three over the last four games.
Right.
And they second in the NBA, 40% from three up until that point.
They were under 70% from the line last night.
Yeah.
Like, they just, shooting in general has been a bit of an issue, and it was last night, and yet they stayed in the game. They had a couple of big stops down the stretch.
Gutsy.
Gasol in particular. OG. Ananobi had his kind of Ron Artest type of night defensively. factored into the game.
Norm had his Kobe fourth quarter. He's been doing that a bunch lately.
Right.
I guess he learned that.
I got no issues with that. I mean, would it have been great to win by 30? Maybe, but almost in a way, you if you're Nick Nurse, you're like, we got the win, but I've got something else I can hammer these guys on before a game tomorrow night that's going to be emotional. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the Raptors, I think, to prove that, you know, it wasn't all about Kawhi. And if they had lost four in a row, especially to the Bulls going into that game, I think it factors into their mentality tomorrow night. I think that's why it was a significant win. And you move on to the game tomorrow night, and the game we've all had circled for a long time. And it's going to be all about Kawhi Leonard tomorrow night. But I've talked about this even since June when they won, prior to him leaving, that the other guys on the team have just never been given enough credit. Would you agree with that? Like, all you hear is it's Kawhi, Kawhi, Kawhi. It's like, well, Siakam played pretty well. Fred was spectacular.
Lowry?
Lowry closed game six. Like, that was Kyle's game. It wasn't Kawhi was the best player. They don't win a title without Kawhi. That goes without saying. But can we not show some appreciation for everybody else?
Yeah, I think especially over those last two series. Now, obviously, the Philadelphia series is fresh in my mind, having gone back and watched a lot of that and watched the shot like another 30 times over the last 2 days. It was a great series, but that was Kawhi lifting the team on his shoulders when, I mean, Van Vliet was unplayable in that series, and Norm was having a rough one, and
nobody wanted to shoot.
Danny Green, yeah, I mean, that was a really strange series. And I thought that would be a really good matchup for the Raptors against the Sixers, and it wasn't until game one when you sort of look at it and you're like, okay, well, wait a minute, Philadelphia is really big, they're really physical. Now they're even bigger and more physical. Kawhi bailed them out big time in that series, just a historically dominant seven-game series for Kawhi. But after that, against Milwaukee and Golden State, especially because that was after Kawhi tweaked the knee and was clearly not 100%. He still had some great games, but he had a few games where he just didn't look like himself. And all of a sudden, Van Vliet has his son, and then turns into Steph Curry.
You're right about. That's the craziest story, I don't know, in recent memory in Toronto, where a guy goes from, like, I was thinking myself watching the game, they should play Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
To now he's like, now we're talking about him, maybe he should be an all-star. That's like
Maybe
a max player. Like, that's insane.
And then Siakam picked them up. Lowry, people forget about this too, playing with nine fingers. He had his thumb issue that was really bad in the Milwaukee and Golden State series. He says that he couldn't even feel his thumb in those games. And he shot over 40%. From three against Milwaukee, pretty close to that against Golden State as well, had some big games. So you're absolutely right. And I mean, they're proving it now, these guys without Kawhi playing in those expanded roles. And they said it from the get-go. I mean, Serge was insulted probably more than the rest of those players. I mean, some of them are trying to dance around it and no bulletin board material, no chip on our shoulder. But Serge was insulted before the season that there were people that weren't picking them to make the playoffs. I think they do sort of relish this opportunity to show that it wasn't just Kawhi, that they are NBA champions as well, and they're NBA champions for a reason.
Are you expecting anything outside of the norm tomorrow night? Like, Kawhi's going to be presented with his ring at 6:45.
You think he's going to cry?
Well, we're not even saying that. Jonas is trying to break loose the whole room. Yeah, he wants statues or some sort of, you know,
banner or something.
Something to commemorate Kawhi Leonard.
For tomorrow.
Tomorrow night would be the night to do it.
No.
It would be the night.
You think so?
I don't think they're going to do it, but if they're going to do it, you do it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I guess so, because when else would you do it?
Yeah, you're not going to get it the second time. He may not play ever again.
Well, statue. We would have noticed if they're making a statue outside of that building. They're not just going to pop
just
that
overnight.
Out of,
they're just going to wheel it out.
Well, the jersey retirement is, that's the bold move. That's the mic drop. Thank you, Kawhi. Two's going up into the rafters.
I don't think that's happening tomorrow or ever. I don't think they're retiring his jersey. The statue I could see happening at some point, and I'd be cool with that. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, they're leaving themselves, as far as I understand, they're leaving themselves 4.5 minutes for this ring ceremony. I'm using ceremony in air quotes because it's not even really a ceremony. As far as I understand it, they've asked that fans be in their seats at 6:45. Nothing's happening at 6:45. They just want to make sure that people are there and not just strolling in late. Whatever's happening is happening just after 7 o'clock. And it's going to be a video presentation. I think they're going to have the returning players present the ring. Kawhi will, I don't know, wave to the crowd.
Yeah, maybe, I don't think he's going to speak.
Maybe smile. I don't think he's going to. Hey. I don't think
he'll smile?
I mean, he's getting a ring that's pretty expensive, and it's a championship ring.
Half
you'd like
smirk?
To believe he'll be happy.
I mean, but what did he say after he showed that rare emotion after hitting the only buzzer beater in Game 7? He said, "I only show emotion when I do something I've never done." He's gotten a ring before, so I don't know. Maybe it's just not a big deal for him. I'll just take it, look at it. It's huge in general. It would be like the size of it's the size of my fist. I've worn the thing. For him, he's just going to like pick it up, look at it. Oh, yeah,
it's
okay.
It's a pebble for him.
Yeah, and then move on.
Well, he's going to have to give it to somebody and go play. He's
not going to play with it?
Shockingly, he's not allowed to do that. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect tomorrow night. I'm bummed out. I'm not going to be able to get down there because we're on the air until 7.
I'm really excited for the Patterson tribute, personally.
Yeah, I guess. Is this his first game back? Or?
No.
No, he's been back before, yeah. But I got to think Danny Green, they're here later in the month, right? When's L.A. here?
I'm not sure.
I thought the Lakers were here in December as well. I'll look that up, but I don't think Danny's getting an email, be in your seats at 6:45.
He'll get a video, though.
Probably. Oh, he'll get a video, and he'll deserve that video.
And he'll show more emotion than Kawhi will.
He'd be more likely to talk.
And yeah.
If you gave him a mic, I don't think he's ever turned down the opportunity to speak to a crowd.
No.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Green spoke when he returned. Josh Lindenberger, Raptors reporter in studio. What are you hearing on Van Vliet? Like, what, in terms of a timeline and...
I don't think it's that serious. I think it's been a precautionary thing, which is good news, obviously. Even after they pulled him out of that game in Philadelphia, he was on the bench. He didn't have ice on the knee. It sounds like he tweaked it. He originally banged it in the Houston game. And then he played through it against Philadelphia, thought he'd be fine. I guess realized once he was out there that it wasn't responding the right way and just thought, listen, it's early December. Play it safe, and that was the decision they made last night as well, which was probably the right decision, maybe a tough sell, because I know Fred loves playing in Chicago, just
around
the corner from his hometown. He's had some huge games there as well, but again, he's a smart dude. Like Kyle Lowry, it's like they're competitors, they want to be out there, but they get it. That said, Wednesday night, ESPN... Clippers, Kawhi, I wouldn't be shocked to see him out there tomorrow, especially given that I don't think this is a serious long-term thing. Maybe it's something that he deals with nagging injury for a little while that they have to keep an eye on, but I don't think it's anything that's going to keep him out long-term.
Yeah, if it's a contusion, I mean, I don't know if you're going to injure that any worse than it already is.
Isn't that just a bruise?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's a fancy word for a bruise.
How come they just don't say bruise?
I don't know. It's the medical term, and you've got to be on the straight and narrow.
They were calling OG's eye injury an eye contusion. I'm like, how do you bruise your eye? Yeah. What is happening?
You got poked in the eye, man. Yeah. Just speak openly and honestly. Let's go blue collar on these injury reports. Poked in the eye, can't play. Right? Bruised knee.
Bell rung.
May not be able to
play. Hey, it beats upper body and lower body injuries. Yeah, so at least there's that.
100% valid. Marcus Gasol, again, defensively, he stepped up countless times all year. Offensively, it's been a mess. But I don't think anyone should be surprised by that. He's 35 now, I believe. And he's played more basketball in the last 12 months than he would have when he was 25. Like, this screams, you got to let him find it, man. I don't have any issues with where he's at. I'd prefer if he was, you know, more of an option. But I think by the end of the year, he'll probably get there.
Well, and isn't the three-point shooting, it's relatively new for Marc Gasol. Like,
and he's shooting the three ball well, actually.
Yeah.
I think he's around 40%. He's shooting like 20-something percent from inside the arc. It's been a very bizarre year, especially offensively for Gasol. But, I mean, he was never a great post-up player. He's not like you're big that you're going to dump the ball down to and he's going to back you down and post you up. And, mm-hmm. and then as you get older, that's falling off.
Well, it's more difficult to fight through.
Right.
I mean, to really, and he did last night. He got pissed a couple times last night. But I just, you know, the only reason why he might be involved in a trade discussion in the future is because of the cap hit. Because it would open up so much flexibility to make more moves. Right? Like, if you're going to get involved with a player of significance that might have a ticket or you want to bring in a couple of pieces, he's got a cap hit at $25 million.
Expiring deal.
Right? Like, it wouldn't be ideal because it would take away a big piece in the middle. We had Sam in here yesterday. He's like, if you end up playing Philly, who's shutting down Embiid? Like, he terrorizes Embiid.
Maybe you look at Ibaka.
Well, but then who's coming off? He's your sixth guy coming off the bench. I mean, there,
I guess who are you
a lot
trading
of different
for?
Ways you can talk. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that's who's available, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But if you want to make an impact trade, you're not trading Chris Boucher to make that happen.
But right? You're going to have to trade, like, important young pieces, aren't you?
No, something. But I'm saying from a cap perspective, they're up against it. They don't have flexibility.
Well, I think the biggest thing is in any potential trade, we know they're not taking any salary past
2021,
next season.
Yeah.
So maybe you're trading for a guy either on expiring deal or a guy that has one more year left on his deal. But we can say with some certainty they're not taking back significant salary or maybe any salary past the summer of 2021. So that's the first thing is who's available. First, who's available at all, and second, who's available that fits that criteria that could help you. I think we're looking at a pretty short list. And then, yeah, you have to look at that and, like, can you afford to lose Serge Ibaka based on how well he's playing and how much he's propping up the bench? Can you afford to lose Marcus Olin right now? And I don't care what his numbers look like or what he's shooting from inside the arc. Right now the answer is probably no, because, and Nick made this point the other day, I'm not sure that there's a better defensive center in the NBA right now, which blows my mind. One, because the dude is, I think, 34 going on 35. And two is, even in his prime, he was a below-the-rim seven-footer. He's never been the type of guy that's going to block your shot or beat you down the court. He's not athletic, and yet the IQ, the size, the physicality, just the smarts, the positioning, everything about what he does defensively. He rarely makes mistakes. He's never in the wrong spot. He's telling other guys where to be. He's such a great defensive player. And even as other parts of his game start to fall off now, if anything, he's as good as he was defensively when he won Defensive Player of the Year back, whatever it was, 5-6 years ago.
Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter in studio, he's got a new piece up on TSN.ca, The Shot, an oral history of Kawhi's most iconic moment as a Raptor, Game 7, at home against Philly. Marc Gasol was on the court for that. I saw Serge Ibaka, his quote in your article, saying that he, for a second there, he thought about going up there and getting it, and it probably would have been goaltending, and then they go to overtime, and who knows what happens in terms of the journey.
He told me they would have lost. He said he thinks they would have lost if they went to overtime, which is great, because you got Nick Nurse telling me, oh, we were confident, we were in control the whole game, we would have won in overtime. Serge is like, no, we would have lost. Then you've got all these other guys. I think Nick also said it was Kawhi taking the shot. I had confidence it would go in, and Serge is like, no, I didn't think it would go in. I love Serge, man. Like,
me too.
Here's what I love about Serge Ibaka, though. Over the course of our conversation, 5 minutes ago, you said he was personally offended that someone could doubt the Raptors. Meanwhile, you've given two examples of where he doubted that Kawhi could hit the shot,
yeah,
and doubted that they could win in overtime. So he's allowed to doubt the Raptors.
He's allowed.
Okay, I see.
He's the Mafuzi chef.
He, 2 years ago, wouldn't even speak to us. Like, he would just come and go, and we didn't know anything about him other than he occasionally punches dudes. But somehow, within the last 2 years, he's transformed from that to, like, the most interesting man in the world.
I think it's the show.
It's probably the show.
He's
come out of his shell.
I haven't watched a bunch of them. He is...
he's funny.
He's great. He is. He's great. I mean, you understand it. English is not his first language. It's uncomfortable for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But...
he was the MVP of that piece, man. He stole the show.
Yeah. Okay, find it on TSN.ca. It's going to be a fun night tomorrow night. Again, the Raptors at home against the Clippers. You can hear that on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN tomorrow. Kawhi Leonard making his return back to Toronto. Josh, you'll be down there. We look forward to it. And thanks for joining us in studio.
Thanks, guys. I'll tell Kawhi you say hello.
Yes, please do. I'm sure he'll be very impressed that Jonas Siegel from The Athletic.
He's a big Overdrive fan.
Is he?
Probably.
I'll bet you he has no idea who we are.
I bet you he has no idea who I am. I covered him for a year. I bet you he has no idea who anyone in San Antonio is. They covered him for like 8 years.
Right. Maybe and the Clippers. You know he's not following anything there either.
Maybe he knows more than he lets on.
He could. It's deceptive. I mean, he's probably seen us on TV on mute. He probably never cares about what we have to say, but I'm sure he's been in a restaurant at some point.
Does he own a TV?
Yeah. That's why he goes out to eat.
Yeah.
Kawhine and dine. Josh Lewenberg, a Raptors reporter. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes on the Leaf game tonight in Vancouver, and Pierre LeBrun with a new report on what could be happening with the World Cup of Hockey. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Ray will join us in about 15 minutes. The Leafs in Vancouver tonight, taking on the Canucks, and I think that's probably the Leafs' biggest Western Conference rival. It's the longest standing one that I can think of. I mean, they have a connection with all three of them, and I guess you could include Winnipeg. But Winnipeg has kind of come and gone over its history. But
do you think Vancouver is their biggest rival?
That West? As yeah, I think so. I think because of the size of the fan base, how loud Canucks fans are.
Yeah, right.
They're
right.
Very anti-Toronto.
Yeah, they really go out of their way.
And vice versa. You're right. Because
no, we don't really.
No, you know, Toronto doesn't care about anybody really else care. Other than themselves.
It's right? Like, it's like the
Vancouver
way,
hates Toronto. You're right.
It's like with the States, how we kind of feel this inferiority
complex. Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing with Vancouver and Toronto.
Yeah, you're actually right. It's a great point.
That's why I don't know. It's an inexact science. It's all subjective anyway. But
no, you're right. The others,
Like Edmonton. Edmonton's had so much more success over the past 40 years. Like the Leafs can't even really compete. I think that's why Vancouver comes into play too. They haven't won a cup. The Leafs haven't won a cup. Calgary got theirs in '89.
Yeah.
Like in the 80s, what are Leaf fans going to say to Edmonton fans? Like, nothing. What could you possibly say?
Yeah, at that point, no. Yeah. You're right. You're right. Like, plus the cities. Like, they're two amazing cities. Like, it just depends on your flavor. Like, Vancouver's a beautiful city. I don't know.
A-plus. It's awesome.
It's a beautiful
city. Well, there's a lot of people from both cities that move back and forth.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, and you're right. I think there is people in Vancouver don't care for the coverage that Toronto gets,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, especially with the West Coast games and that, people don't pay attention as much to. And the Canucks have really pushed through. The last couple of years haven't been as predominant, and now they have
pieces
better team.
Now
they've got pieces. You're right. Yeah. They're a better team now.
So we'll get into that with Ray. Ray will join us just after 5. Pierre LeBrun with a new report on potentially having the World Cup of Hockey back in 2024. We'll tell you more about that in the hour 2 of Overdrive. Noodles is back in here with Jonas Siegel. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.